Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report. Joining us today, National Vice President for District 3, Phil Glover. Phil, welcome back, man.
Thanks, Chuck. How you doing today?
Man, I'm having more fun than I'm allowed, but you know, it's almost as much fun as being back in AFGE, but that hasn't happened yet. So, hey, listen, Phil, you have brought a friend. You brought a local president from the VA. Please introduce.
Yeah, we have our local vice president from Local 1966 out here in Lebanon, Pennsylvania at the Veterans Hospital. And I'll let him introduce himself and talk a little bit about his local and his work location. Go ahead there, Charles.
Hi, I'm Charles Wright, vice president of Local 1966 here in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. It's great to be here. How are you doing, Chuck?
Man, I'm having more fun than I'm allowed, that's for sure. So you are a local vice president for a VA hospital. Talk to us about, well, first off, you know, you guys have a lot of veterans working in the hospital as federal employees, don't you?
Yes, we do. We're predominantly almost, I would say, at least 75% of all full-time workers here are veterans themselves.
That's very interesting. And as veterans working on and taking care of vets, I mean, as a patient, I mean, a lot of those people that work at the VA hospital, some of them are patients too, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. You always see a lot of employees who are actually coming here to the VA to get treatment for whatever illness that they may have due to any type of military service.
So let me put it this way. They must be working hard enough and doing a good enough job if they're willing to put themselves in their own hands, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Who else will know anything better about a veteran than another veteran?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've heard the polling has been upwards of about 90% of all veterans across the United States, and there's 22 million of them, saying that they want the VA hospital system, the VA system in totality, left intact. They want it fully funded. They want it fully manned. They want to be taken care of by veterans or those people that have a close affinity to veterans. They don't want to get vouchers. They don't want to go off onto, and this is a military term, so to speak, the economy. And they don't want to be treated by those people that just don't get it.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why we're definitely trying to get out the message about the 49,000 positions that are currently vacant throughout the VA and the country. And that becomes the issue, is that if you're only working with a few employees, how are the veterans going to get the treatment that they deserve and need in this today's economy?
Guys, I'm going to say this. Phil, you and I have known each other long enough, and I'm going to ask this question, and I'm probably going to answer it too. How the heck does Congress have the right to say to the VA hospital system in totality, oh, you're not moving fast enough to take care of the troops. You've got these super secret lists and backlogs and so on and so forth that are put into place by management. How the heck do they justify saying those things when they are the very people that have cut the budget and stopped the VA from hiring people? Phil, I don't get it.
Well, that's where, Charles, this whole thing is a false premise. They are trying to set up the VA. There's a number of people in Congress. There's people in the government that are trying to set this whole system up to fail so that they can contract it out to private hospitals and private companies to pick up that work and give government contracts to. And, you know, we are completely opposed to that. We think it's inappropriate to send veterans out to eye care or to some sort of Medwell for their care. You know, look, we want to make sure that the vets are taken care of here. We certainly know that every medical system has some wait times. They have some things that they have problems with. But the fact is, when you hold in place 49,000 vacancies and then you say, oh, by the way, they're failing, Well, yeah, if you don't have enough schedulers, if you don't have enough counselors, nurses, doctors, even the folks that do the maintenance and the cleaning of these hospitals, you have to have a full onboard set of people to make sure that those veterans are cared for.
What is the message that we should be sending to members of Congress that have said, well, you know what, we're just going to cut the funding to the VA because they're not doing what I want them to do?
I think the message has to be that, look, veterans want VA health care. That's been clearly defined in polls, in surveys. They want it. They want it to work well. I mean, look, nobody wants to be treated poorly. They all want it to work well. So what Congress should be doing is having hearings about that, calling the director of the VA over and saying, why aren't you filling these positions and why are you pushing this CHOICE Act? That's what ought to be happening. And then they ought to be ensuring in each of their congressional districts that has a hospital that they are fully funding it and fully staffing it. They should be coming out and taking visits to these places and make sure that they're running right. That's their job as congressmen. And
right.
Hopefully we can get that message out through this program and through our rallies and other things.
You know, I don't get it, Phil. You're a veteran. I'm a veteran. Charles, I don't know if you are or not.
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, there you go. So we got three vets sitting around talking about this. And, you know, I for one, am really tired of members of Congress throwing their arms around a vet and saying, my God, we love you guys. You're just the greatest thing ever. You know, we need you. God bless you for what you're doing, so on and so forth. And, oh, those people over there, they're doing things that insult veterans. We don't like them because of that. And yet, they are putting veterans' lives in danger, their health and their well-being in danger, and they're doing it willfully and deliberately for a campaign contribution.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons why we're definitely trying to get out the message and try to educate even every federal worker. You know, don't take my opinion or my facts or Phil's facts. Look up the information yourself. You'll see it. It's in black and white that every person out there, a veteran employee or even a veteran itself, can see the information that's out there. And that's what we have to do. We have to educate everyone on exactly what is really going on. And that's the message we're trying to put out. Education, education, education.
Yeah, there you go. Now, oftentimes vets themselves, active duty military people and their families, they're a little bit resonant about picking up the phone and calling a congressman. But I think now is the time that we should be encouraging veterans all across the country. And this is not a one-party issue. This is a everybody issue, to pick up the phone and call their congressman and say, hey, you know what? Stop playing games with the VA. Stop playing games with the health and the welfare of veterans all across the United States and their families, too. I mean, you know, this is not... When a veteran has a problem, it doesn't stop with the veteran. It carries on into the family. It carries on into their workplace and the community. And, you know, quite honestly, I am tired of veterans being volleyed about for more money. And I think that's what we're talking about, isn't it, Phil?
I think that's right. And if I'll hand this off to Charles, he's got some interesting numbers on how many veterans get seen. So, Charles, if you wanted to add
hold on a second. Guys, here's what I'm going to do. We're going to take a short break.
Okay.
And when we come back, Charles, I want to hear those numbers, and we're going to continue to get this out to the public, okay?
Okay.
Fantastic. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it, and you can hear it repeatedly without feeling anything. But when we introduce a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural or inborn response from you. Save the food, because 40% of all food in the US never gets eaten. Save the food, cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.
The International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 66, works with builders and contractors to build a better community. Local 66's tradesmen and women have received the specialty training needed to meet the complex challenges of any project, making them the most capable workforce in the region. From schools, highways, and pipeline projects to casinos and arenas, the operating engineers build any job, large or small. For over 100 years, Local 66 has provided superior service that our community can count on. They are your one-stop resource for qualified and productive operating engineers and heavy equipment mechanics. To learn more about the benefits of organized labor and more information about the International Union of Operating Engineers Local 66, go to www.iuoe66.org. That's www.iuoe66.org.
Hope you enjoyed your meal. And I just want to say, he's lucky to have a brother like you.
Lucky? Caring for my brother is far from easy. But he's a part of me, like my arms and legs, so I'll be his. No time for tired. Nothing can disable this love. He needs me, but I'm the lucky one, even though I need help now and then.
If you're caring for a loved one, visit aarp.org/caregiving for care guides and community. Support for your strength. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave 2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck as a gift to Dave 2037, so he can spend it on things like anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. Something cool like that. I think Dave 2037 deserves it. He worked hard. What are you getting Steve 2037?
I guess I was thinking Steve 2037 would just fend for himself.
Well, all right. But don't expect to be borrowing my anti-gravity boots.
You want to have money in your future? You got to start saving now. Putting some money from every paycheck into a savings account or contributing to your 401k can make a big difference later. Put away a few bucks, feel like $1 million. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
Hey, let's just hope Steve 2037 doesn't get his hands on a cold time machine, because he is going to come back here and knock some sense into you.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
We are the BCTGM fighting for American jobs. Nabisco, maker of iconic snack brands like Oreo, Ritz Crackers, and Chips Ahoy, has made its fortunes in America, and its patriotic response has been to send U.S. jobs to Mexico. As a result, consumers across the U.S. continue to boycott their Mexican-made products. Corporate revenues are down across North America. Consumers are sending a loud, clear message. Now, religious leaders from all faiths across the U.S. are calling for an investigation into this Nabisco business model and have scheduled a six-city tour to look deeper into the matter. Just as the NAFTA negotiations are in the forefront, the faith community will begin to talk to workers, politicians, and other faith-based leaders addressing this U.S. jobs exodus by Nabisco from a moral and ethical perspective and widely publishing their findings. The BCTGM and Interfaith Workers Justice, its faith-based coalition partner, ask all people of faith and social conscience to join this fight against Nabisco's exploitation of workers in the U.S. and in Mexico. Millions are already not buying Nabisco products made in Mexico, and it's already impacting their bottom line. Join our fight for moral and economic justice at fightforamericanjobs.com.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report. Joining me today, we've got Phil Glover of District 3 and Charles Wright, Vice President for Local 1966 in Lebanon, PA. It's a VA hospital. Phil, Charles, welcome back to the program.
Thanks.
Charles, before the break, we were getting ready to talk about some numbers about veterans. What are we talking about here? The numbers of people that you're seeing or what?
Yes, this is just the numbers here at the Lebanon VA here in Lebanon, PA. The medical center currently treats more than 2,000 veterans each day and 44,000 veterans per year at our main hospital. And we have some other CBOCs, other clinics out there. But that's just at the main hospital. And currently we have 1,500 full-time employees. So you can kind of do the math there. If we're seeing 2,000 veterans each day, and we have 1,500 full-time employees, and most of the employees are not what we say clinical or
right.
Patient care. So you can just try to do the numbers there on 2,000, even if you try to compare them to the 1,500.
You
they
know,
are
well,
still very off.
Charles, do you have any numbers on what you know, a general practitioner, doctor, how many patients are seeing a day?
There are currently almost 2,100 appointments each day.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, that is not a small hospital by any stretch of the imagination. You know, in now, as a local leader, do you know how far down you are, perhaps percentage-wise, when it comes to you guys are authorized so many people at the hospital, but you only have this many?
I currently don't have that number because it hasn't been released, but I'm sure we are way down because of just some of our members coming to us saying that we're asked to do so much more with so much with less.
Right. And you know, folks, this is not, you know, people shuffling paperwork. This is not people, you know, this is military and medical professionals providing medical health care for our veterans. And, you know, to say to a doctor, oh, well, you've got to see 15 patients in the morning and 15 patients in the afternoon. I mean, how much time does that give you per patient? And when you've only got maybe 20 doctors on call or on shift at any time when you're supposed to have 30, what does that do to the quality of medicine? You know, guys.
Well, these are the things, you know, obviously, Charles, these are the things that the general public and, you know, they get told a lot of things through different media sources. They really get told a lot about how, you know, federal employees are a bunch of bureaucrats. We're just sitting around just waiting to get our checks. And, you know, these people out here at this hospital, and I've been here now for 2 days. We had a union fair yesterday. I was here the first morning was Tuesday morning. These people come in here, and they go right to work for these guys. You know, right away they're getting their appointments in. You got veterans all over the hospital sitting in groups talking. You know, you kind of walk through these lobby areas. There's veterans everywhere. They're all sitting together talking about their experiences, you know, and the employees are out here really pushing to try to take care of them. But, you know, if you're short 10%, 20%, 30% in any given department,
it slows the
you know,
process
things
down.
Things are tough. And we, you know, that's why, you know, certainly we've been trying to get this message out about the way the budget's working and the way this, you know, this Choice Act where they want to privatize pieces of this, you know, send you out to these medical centers, these med wells for things. So we're really on that message. And, you know, as we wind this down today, I do have a couple bill numbers that I want to put out
please,
to our
ahead.
Folks. And you know, I do want to give Charles some more time to talk about the function of here and the local members and that kind of stuff.
First off, what are the bills in Congress right now that we should be looking at?
Well, we've got the Brown bill in the House, which is H.R., House Resolution 3459. And what that bill would do is make the VA director, it's called the VA Staffing and Vacancies Transparency Act of 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And what that would do is he would have to report publicly on Department of Veterans Affairs websites all vacancies in the VA and where they are, and then the total number of people in encumbered positions. They would have to, by occupation, break all this down so that the public knows what is being held open. And then it would also make it where the VA Inspector General has to give recommendations on how to improve the systems in VA. So that bill is one of them. The other one is the Sanders bill, which is S-1723 in the Senate, and it's called the Strengthening Veterans Health Care Act of 2017. And what this says is that they have to hire primary care and specialty physicians for the VA. They have to hire other medical professionals as deemed appropriate by the VA, and they would have to fully staff up. That's what that bill basically tells Congress. And it requires an additional $5 billion for veterans care to staff the VA fully. So those two bills are the ones that we're really focused on pushing right now for VA employees.
Phil, let me ask you this. Every time that I have seen the reports out there and the polling out there amongst vets that they want the VA hospital, in addition to that, when they are asked very specifically about the quality of care, the quality of the people working with them, it has categorically been very, very positive, to the point where it is better than most civilian hospital systems in the country.
Okay? Absolutely.
So knowing that veterans want the VA, and knowing that the quality of health care is outstanding and the veterans are extremely satisfied with it, who in Congress is standing up against the VA hospital and veterans?
Well, I think if you look at it, Charles, you're looking at the Concerned Veterans for America, for instance, who is funded entirely
by
the Koch
brothers front group.
Yeah, they this is all about money.
Yeah.
This is for certain members of Congress. I think, frankly, the Speaker and some others. This is all about money. This is all about transferring money from the government to private sector corporations. It's about moving money over, and forget about the veteran. You know, they'll take a photo. They like to have their little flag pins on, all that kind of stuff. But the fact is, this is the meat of taking care of veterans. This is the meat, and they're not doing it. And that's what needs to happen, and we have to get that out. And so maybe Charles could talk about the rally we're having today.
Please.
A little bit, and then I'm sure we're getting close here.
Yeah, we are. But go ahead, Charles.
Yes, we're actually having a rally today from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today, right out front of the main entrance into the Lebanon VA. So anyone who's out there in earshot or anyone who is able to come out, please come out and support our local union and the vets, because it's truly about the vets. It's not
right.
It's not to hammer about the VA in general. It's just the employees just want the staffing. They just want to do a good job, and they just want to have all the means available to them to do the good job. And like Phil was saying, that it's really coming down, it's about money. It is about transferring money from the federal government to these private companies, and then later on set themselves up for life, and while the veteran has to pay the price. I mean, can now, you know how the old saying goes, when, you know, they spend $20,000 on a toilet seat. You know, now these private companies will overcharge the government.
Time and
it will cost them almost three times more than what it is if they did it to themselves.
Right. And, you know, these are the same contractors that in Iraq said to the government, oh, you know what, we're not feeding the GIs in a combat zone on Thanksgiving because we didn't get what we wanted. Okay,
right.
This is the kind of contractors we're talking about. And if anybody out there has a problem with the federal government, tell you what, get rid of the contractors, you get rid of the problems. But
absolutely.
That's another story.
Because you take the money aspect out of it.
Yeah, and put it back into performance on behalf of the veterans that we're serving and the taxpayers that we're serving. You know, my God, this is such an affront to veterans, and I'm really, really tired of the politicians that tell the world, oh, we love our vets, we love our GIs, but, you know, when it comes time to perform, they're more concerned about making a buck than anything else.
Absolutely, and that's why we want to make sure we get the message out. And like I keep saying over, don't take my word for it, don't take Phil's word for it, don't take your word for it.
Absolutely.
Do your own homework.
Absolutely. Charles, how do we find out more about your local?
You can contact me at charleswright at yahoo.com. You can also call the main union office here at the facility, and I'm at extension 5771.
There you go. Phil, we got to get going, man. How do we find out more about what District 3 is up to?
Hey, always check our website, www.afgedistrict3.org or afge.org/win. Go to either of those, and you can find out more about what AFG is doing and how we're fighting back against some of these attacks.
Absolutely. Guys, listen, we appreciate you being with us today, talking to us. Good luck, Godspeed. Let us know how we can help in the future, okay?
All right. Thanks for having us.
Meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the American Federation of Government Employees District Report.